Translation. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five, as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the immediate expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his brother. He is the personified spiritual bliss of Satchidananda Vigraha. His body is transcendental and full of ecstasy in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore called Bhakta Rupa, the form of a devotee. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu is called Bhakta Svarupa, the expansion of a devotee. Sri Advaita Prabhu, the incarnation of a devotee, is Vishnu Tattva and belongs to the same category. There are also different types of bhaktas or devotees on the platforms of neutrality, servitude, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. Devotees like Sri Damodar, Sri Gadadha, and Sri Ramananda are different energies. This confirms the Vedic sutra, Parasya Shaktiya Vividheva Shuryate. All these bhaktas, subjects, taken together, constitute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Hare Krishna. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not an easy subject matter because it is the postgraduate study of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to read and very carefully study these literatures in order to carefully understand it and properly understand it. But at the same time, we are encouraged as devotees to study all these books. Srila Prabhupada gave us Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and he gave us Nectar of Devotion, and he gave us the summary study of the Sri Chaitanya, first of all, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, by which we can get a very nice, clear overview and understanding of what is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, steadily, step by step, and then he paused for some time in the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam in order to give us this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he wanted us to have everything, and he encouraged that we regularly study these literatures and gradually get clearer and clearer understanding of Krishna. So this clearer and clearer understanding, it's a medicinal process. Jnananjana. What is anjana? Everyone know what is anjana? Ladies may know. Anjana is the ointment we put on the eyes. And in medical terms, anjana is a healing ointment. So if one has got a cataract on the eyes, the idea of traditional medicine is that one would put the healing ointment on the eyes and gradually the eyes will become clear and able to see. So this verse, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, generally this is understood that I offer my respectful obeisances to the spiritual master, to my spiritual master, his personal, my spiritual master, who has very kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. But there is also Jnananjana, the Jnananjana, this medicinal ointment of knowledge of Krishna, which enables us to gradually rectify our vision so that even having our eyes opened, we get some ability to see clearly. And so this regular hearing and studying of these transcendental literatures or the words from the pure devotee are the healing medicinal treatment by which the eyes become able to see things clearly. So therefore it's extremely valuable for us to regularly hear and recite and explain also. Because when you explain something, then you're put on the spot. When you have to explain something, then the defects in your knowledge are revealed. And also, therefore, what we have to learn is also revealed, that we have much to learn. So in many ways, not only the fact that if we want to assimilate Krishna consciousness properly, then hearing and explaining, as Prabhupada puts it, shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and explaining, are very much required, because in this way we also assimilate the science of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this nice subject matter. It is not something which we can just read in a day and everything will become very, very clear. It will take time to clearly understand what is Krishna consciousness. And it's something that we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, that one of the symptoms of the curing of the disease state is that we become eager to hear about Krishna. This is the fact of the matter. If we have developed some eagerness to hear about Krishna, just like everyone here is very fortunate, because there are some signs that the disease is abating, and we have to make sure that the disease is properly cured. What is that disease? Bhavarog. You know what is Bhavarog? Any medical people here in the audience? Bhavarog? Anyone has got skin disease? So Prabhupada explains, skin disease means that we've identified with the skin and bone. This is the disease. So we have to learn to identify ourselves as what? Jiva Svarupa Hoy Nityara Krishna Das, eternal servants of Krishna, which means actually, factually, we have nothing to do with these temporary material bodies. But because of diseased condition of life, we're all so easily and regularly identifying with this temporary body which we're inhabiting, just as one inhabits a dress, an outfit. So Krishna has explained in Bhagavad Gita from the very beginning that the body is simply the dress. So we hope this won't happen to all the devotees going on the cruise, but if someone is drowning in the ocean, which we hope there will be nothing happening to the boat, but that if one is drowning, if one simply brings back the shirt and pants, as Prabhupada would describe it, then we haven't done anything for the person. But the idea is, to save the person, we have to understand who the person is and not mistake the shirt and pants for the person himself. That is the person who we have to go for. So when Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, natveveham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipa, he's explaining from the very beginning that he's not talking to Arjuna as the body, because he's saying many, many births both you and I have passed, Arjuna. So he's not talking about Arjuna's body, because the body is not the one that has passed through many births and deaths. It's the soul. It's the person inside the body. So Krishna is addressing Arjuna as the person. And the platform of Aryan civilization is that we understand that the person is actually the jiva, the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So this is the basics. This is entry-level understanding to actual spiritual life. And if somebody is purporting to be a spiritualist but doesn't understand this basic point, then this is simply bogus. Simply, they have no understanding. This is the basic level. Without understanding this point, there's no question of spirituality. So, but here, we're looking at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have this very nice, some would call it photograph or picture of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. This has been here since the beginning of Bhaktivedanta Mana, along with this picture. They were both painted by a very nice artist called Gopal. The picture of Prabhupada was painted, believe it or not, in one day. by Gopal, very wonderful artist, but the picture of Panchatantra took a few more days to complete. But they were ready there for the opening here of Sri Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we may not appreciate the significance of these five personalities in our lives, but actually they are essential for the development of our understanding of Krishna. Krishna, he has different energies, different potencies. So we can see that we have different energies. For example, everyone here in this room, we see how Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, bhinna prakriti rashtada. So we know when we go to the bathroom, parts of this body are emanating from the body and they are separated inferior energies. Yes. And we produce from our bodies some solids and some liquids and gases, and they are our separated inferior energies. They emanate from the body. They're part of us, but they're separated and they're inferior. Is it pretty clear? Yes. So Krishna, he's expressing that everything is coming from me. Matasarvam pravartate. Everything that's existing, all the solids and liquids and gases and the radiation, everything coming from Krishna's body that makes up the whole cosmic manifestation, the universe, the planets, and everything in them, the air, the space. We produce gases from our body. Krishna's produced the air and the space that fills the universe. This is all emanation from Krishna, Krishna's energies. These are his separated inferior energies. So in one sense, separated, but in another sense, not separated, because they've come from the body of Krishna, therefore they belong to Krishna. And these energies, Krishna's energies, are acting in very wonderful ways. Krishna's energies are very beautiful, just as we can see if we look into the sky and we see the cloudscape being formed, very beautiful vision of Krishna's amazing artistic sense that he can produce something very wonderful and beautiful. And at the same time, not just wonderful and beautiful, but also very practical and very essential for maintaining all the living beings, because if there were no clouds in the sky, there would be no distribution of clean water all over the world. And Krishna's energies are there, so many billions of tons of water that float above our heads, and we complain about that the weather is doing this or that. But actually Krishna's energies are working in wonderful ways. But because of our blindness, we don't see Krishna's hand working in such a kind and compassionate way that he's making such nice arrangements for all living beings to live according to our wishes in so many different varieties in this world. And Krishna is making arrangements for all of us, but at the same time in a very beautiful way. But we don't notice what is going on even in our own bodies, what is going on around these bodies, what's making this whole world tick. And we dare to criticize Krishna, we dare to put ourselves as in the same position as Krishna, we think of ourselves as the enjoyers, without understanding that the supreme enjoyer, the real enjoyer, is Krishna, as we'll see that from the next verse, that Svayam Bhagavan Krishna Ekala Ishvara, that Krishna himself, no one is greater than Krishna. And this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is himself Lord Krishna. But he is coming in a very merciful way. Krishna himself is appearing in all sorts of different ways in this world. And if we read through chapters in Bhagavad Gita, like the opulences of the Absolute, we see different ways in which Krishna is presented in this world. Like Krishna is saying, I am the light of the sun and the moon. I am the taste of water. I am the sound in ether. I am the ability in man. So many ways. Of stars, I am the moon. Like that. So all these different elements of mountains, I am the Himalayas. Among beasts, I am the lion. So many ways Krishna is represented, but we haven't learned how to see Krishna. We've learned how to forget Krishna under the influence of another one of Krishna's extraordinary energies, Krishna's Maya potency, very powerful. But we know also that Maya is one of Krishna's potencies, very powerful, affecting all our lives, because it's under the Krishna's Maya potency that we make these mistakes, this basic mistake of misidentifying with the skin and bones. But Maya's potency has different functions. One of her functions is to bewilder, to put us under illusion. Another potency is to kick or to pinch. But they're all working in the same way. Actually, we're all on the same team. How is that? We are working on the program of preaching, and Maya's effort is to the same end on the basis of pinching. So pinching or preaching, the aim is to get us to become convinced to want to know Krishna and surrender to Krishna. The devotees are preaching, please surrender to Krishna. Please hear about Krishna. Just engage in this surrendering process. That is what bhakti yoga is, because it's very difficult for us. Sometimes we experience directly how hard it is to surrender to Krishna. So there's a nice process called bhakti yoga, which means the surrendering process by which we learn to gradually become engaged more and more, even with enthusiasm, in rendering service to Krishna. So that is called bhakti, or the surrendering process. So, and the preaching process is essential to that. By hearing about Krishna, we gradually become eager and convinced that, yes, I want to serve Krishna. I'm not just doing this seva or whatever it may be and just doing these activities and going through the motions, but we're actually learning how to do these things as an offering to Krishna, to please Krishna. So this is the awakening of bhakti yoga. So from one side, the devotees, they come in this world to preach, and Maya, she's working on the other side to pinch, that you don't want to surrender to Krishna? Okay, then I'll pinch you, and 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 I'll keep on pinching you until you learn to surrender to Krishna. So the same teamwork is there. So we have to align ourselves with Krishna's purpose, which is that we come home, and go back home and live with Krishna. Then our lives actually are successful. Then this human life is a success, because otherwise it's another failure. So when we look at Sri Sri Panchatattva, actually in Manchester, where I happen to come from in this life, I consider that we're very fortunate, because the focus of our temple is actually Sri Sri Panchatattva, which is nice because it helps us appreciate that Krishna is presenting himself in his most merciful aspect, the Panchatattva, extremely merciful. Sometimes we may see the deity of Radha and Krishna, and we may take it for granted, so many things about Radha and Krishna, but without understanding about Panchatattva, then our understanding of Radha and Krishna is really very superficial. We need to understand the science of Krishna. And Sri Sri Panchatattva make it possible. By the mercy of Nittai, one gets the mercy of Gaura. And by the mercy of Gaura, one gets the mercy of Radha and Krishna. But to get the mercy of Nittai, one needs the mercy of Guru. Because the Guru, he is the representative of Nittai. The spiritual master is the representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So one has to approach the spiritual master and learn the science from him. And that is why Prabhupada went through so much trouble to give us these books, to help us understand. He went to so much trouble to make sure we had everything. There was nothing missing, so that we could clearly understand what is Krishna consciousness. So when we look at this subject matter, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam. This first line, Panchatattva Atmakam, means comprehending the five transcendental subject matters. We're meant to understand. We're not meant to simply chant the holy names of Krishna. We're meant to understand also what we're doing. This is required. Otherwise, why did Prabhupada go to so much trouble everywhere he went to try to preach and help us understand about Krishna? It is very important. So this jnana anjana, this ointment of knowledge, is essential. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Haribo. So, what is this subject matter? We need to understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the incarnation of a devotee. But yet he's Krishna himself. He is actually Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. That he's coming himself as a devotee. Why? Why Krishna comes as a devotee? Why does he do this? Can anyone say? Why Krishna comes as a devotee? Sorry? Yes, that is part of it. He comes to this world as a devotee to teach us. And what else?
To experience the love that
Srimati Bhagavatam has for him. Yeah, this is actually the best. For the Supreme Lord, being a devotee is the topmost ecstasy. Because why? Srimati Radharani, she's experiencing even more ecstatic pleasure than Krishna in her role as a devotee. Although Srimati Radharani is Krishna's own internal potency, his own pleasure potency. Actually, it is described, who is Lord Chaitanya, that Krishna, he is one, but for the sake of pastimes and of pleasurable pastimes, he has eternally bifurcated himself in two. His internal potency as Srimati Radharani and his self as Sri Krishna. And this way there is exchange, there's loving dealings, because no one can be satisfied being on their own, alone. That is not possible. There, variety is required. There is a saying, variety is the spice of life. And when there are loving pastimes, there is the possibility for, there is the potential, the potency for pleasure. So Srimati Radharani herself is that pleasure potency. But although Lord Krishna has separated him, bifurcated himself, and become two, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has again become one. We need to understand this science that from one comes two, and from two comes one. This is transcendental mathematics. And in any subject matter you take, we've been educated in so many subject matters at school, in mathematics, in English, and geography, and history. All these things, without Krishna consciousness, they become dull and meaningless, and they're actually useless. So if we look at the history lesson, we see how Krishna, he has expanded himself also. His immediate expansion is Balaram. And in the form of Sri Chaitanya as a devotee, that same Balaramji, that immediate expansion, is Nityananda Prabhu. And for what purpose? To please Lord Chaitanya, to please Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya himself, he is experiencing the highest pleasure because he wants to experience what Srimati Radharani is experiencing, because that pleasure is even better than his pleasure. That Radharani, she is enjoying millions of times more than Krishna because of her loving attitude towards Krishna. So Krishna, he also wants to taste this. Very simple thing. You know, you want to get the best pleasure. Okay, well, this is the person who's got the best pleasure. Let me be like her. So Krishna, he is coming in this golden form of Lord Gauranga. He is, because of an upsurge of the mood and emotions of Srimati Radharani, he has assumed the golden complexion of Srimati Radhika. And in that mood, he is experiencing that pleasure, because this is how Krishna himself can experience that pleasure, in the mood of loving devotional service of Srimati Radharani. So he is the Lord in the form of a devotee. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he is the Svarupa, his own form, his second form, his first expansion. As here he is described, the personified spiritual bliss of Satchidananda Vigraha. So Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the expansion of a devotee. So Lord Nityananda, he is coming to serve Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he is in the mood of serving Krishna. And Sri Advaita Prabhu, we see here Sri Advaita Prabhu on the right, Lord Chaitanya's right, that he is the incarnation of a devotee. Okay, let's have a little geography lesson. Where are we? You look on a map. Here's the map, right behind you on the wall. There's the map. Can anyone see where we are on the map? So here, we need to understand where here actually is. So here means we're on one tiny little place, Watford, you know, a little corner of Watford area, Lechmore Heath, where the Lechmore heathens live. And the idea is that there's a little place here on planet Earth, and planet Earth is somewhere in all this space within the material universe. But this one material universe is a very small universe out of many millions and billions of universes, which are created from the body of the Bhakta Avatara. The Bhakta Avatar. What does avatar mean? People use the word avatar nowadays very commonly. It became famous. But what is avatar? Yes, one who descends. So how does Krishna descend in this world? So let's go back to the map and see how the geography works, that these material universes are being expanded from the body of the Lord. So just like what comes out of our body is our property, no one can deny that's what comes out of your body is yours. It's nobody else's. So what comes out of Krishna's body is his. So out of the body of the Mahavishnu, the different universes are coming out on his exhalation. Just like we've got the little holes in the skin. Take a magnifying glass and you look and you see many holes on your skin. You might be surprised. So Mahavishnu, he's got many pores on the skin of his body, and with every exhalation, the universes are emanating from his body and then growing to a very big size. And then when he inhales, they're again coming back into his body. So they're his property. So what is Mahavishnu? Who is Mahavishnu? He is the avatar. He's the incarnation. So we see different discussions of the Dasa avatar and so many avatars who appear within the material world when the Lord descends. As Prabhuji mentioned, the avatar means one who descends. So how does he descend? How does he physically get into this part of the geographical place that we reside? So first, there is the Mahavishnu. And he is called the first of three Purushas. Everybody's familiar with the subject matter? Do you study this Srimad Bhagavatam, this cosmology, cosmography, if you like, where everything is? So we see that the first Purusha, who is an expansion, he's coming from Nityananda, actually, or Balaram. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna's body. And from Balaramji is coming Narayan, and the Chaturvyuha, the four quadruple expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha. And from that Sankarshan comes the second Chaturvyuha, again Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha. And from that second Sankarshan, the second Chaturvyuha, is coming Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, he's the first of three Purusha avatars. So I'm not trying to make it difficult, I'm just trying to explain that Mahavishnu produces the universes from his body, and then inside of each universe he expands into all of the universes as the second Purusha, as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then he makes a nice arrangement for all of us, because he produces from his abdomen one very beautiful lotus flower. And from this lotus flower, is produced Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, the first living entity, is born into the universe. And Lord Brahma, he's given a difficult task, which he doesn't appreciate when he really realizes what it is, that he's being asked to create a prison house for the living beings. And he thinks, no, I don't really want to do this. But then he's told, no, I'm sorry, it's your service. This is what you've got to do. And so he first of all engineers, using the knowledge that Krishna has given him, he's initiated him into the Vedic knowledge so that he can produce the different planets as somewhere for the living entities to live, and then produce the different varieties of living entities and the Prajapatis, the progenitors of the different species, so that the jivas can take birth from where they left off the previous time and take birth in all the different varieties of species of life. And there's somewhere for them to live. Some are living on the land, some living in the water, some living in the sky, some living in fire, everywhere. So all the different living beings are produced by Lord Brahma. And then from this second Garbhadakshay Vishnu within each universe, who's, if you like, the super soul of the universe, then the third Purusha comes, the Kshiradakshay Vishnu. He comes as the super soul inside the heart of every living being. And he also enters into each and every atom of the creation. And he also appears, the third Purusha, as the Kshiradakshay Vishnu. He resides on the Svetadvip planet. So anyone remember reading in the Krishna book on Krishna's Janmashtami day, how the demigods, they went to this place, the shore of the ocean of milk, one Vaikuntha planet within the universe? And that is where the third Purusha resides. And this is where Brahma, all the demigods headed by Brahma and Lord Shiva, they all went to pray to Lord Vishnu within the universe that, please, we have a problem. We have a problem because the world is overburdened by demons and it is causing great distress. So the message came back to Brahma through the medium of the heart, Tenne Brahma Hrida, that, yes, I am now going to appear. And all the demigods, please give them the message that all the demigods, they should appear in the Yadu dynasty and assist me in my pastimes. And so from this Svetadvip planet, this third Purusha, it is from this Kshiradakshay Vishnu generally that all the incarnations appear within the different parts of this universe. So when we talk about Advaita Acharya, we're talking about the Mahavishnu, the Bhakta avatar, the incarnation of a devotee. And why he's taking this role? Because this taking the role of an avatar, this is his service to Krishna. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he is serving Krishna. As Balaramji, he's looking after Krishna. He's Dauji, he's his elder brother, taking care of him. Rendering all sorts of very nice service. And there is the Bhakta avatar, Advaita Acharya, or the Mahavishnu. Why these Vishnus are doing this job? They have nothing to do with the material creation. But for the sake of serving Krishna, they're appearing in these three Purushas to facilitate us. Why facilitate us? Because we have desired to somehow come away from Krishna and put ourselves as the enjoyers. So Krishna is facilitating. It is Krishna's desire to facilitate our desire. And so the Vishnus, they work. Krishna delegates that role. Okay, you look after the living entities here in the material world. And so they do this as their service for Krishna. So everyone is serving Krishna. Balaram is serving Krishna. Vishnu is serving Krishna. All the incarnations who appear, they're serving Krishna because they're trying to attract everyone back to Krishna. So when we see these five, Prabhupada explained, whenever you see or whenever you understand Lord Chaitanya, you should know immediately we mean the five, the Panchatattva. So there is not only Advaita Acharya or Mahavishnu, the incarnation of Mahavishnu, but there's also Sri Gadadhar, the one of the Lord's potencies, the most important potency, the pleasure potency of the Lord. There are different types of potencies. The Lord has unlimited potencies. It is said that the scientists may one day be able to count the number of atoms within the universe, but they'll never be able to estimate the potencies of the Lord. He has unlimited. Parasya shakti vividaiva shuryate. He has unlimited potencies. But the most important potency, his pleasure potency. Because after all, without pleasure, what are you going to do? Life is going to be really boring. But pleasure is required. But for Krishna, he is Anandamaya. He's always pleasure seeking. And because we're little parts of Krishna, we're also seeking pleasure. The problem is we've forgotten what pleasure is. We've become ignorant. So the five Panchatattva, they come to this world to try to help us rediscover that pleasure. Actually, to flood the world with love of Krishna. This is their business. Dancing and chanting and flooding the whole world with love of Krishna. This is their business. And so we see here, so the five, the pure devotee and devotional energy. So the devotional energy is Sri Gadadhar on Lord Chaitanya's left-hand side. And then Srivas Thakur, the incarnation of a devotee. The pure devotee. So this is different tattva. Jiva tattva. What is jiva tattva? Anyone can say what is jiva tattva? Who would like to say what is jiva tattva? Okay, you can explain. Superior to what? Yes. So just like here in the room, there are things and there are people. Which is superior, which is inferior?
People.
The people, yeah? If there's a fire in the room, what will you try to save, the people or the things? Try this at home on your loved ones and see. Yeah, what's most important, the people or the things? Who are you going to save first? Give your partner a surprise. Anyway, the point is that we have to see that the people, the living entities, are superior to the things. So Krishna said that the inferior energy, it's inferior. Earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, false ego, these eight material ingredients. But superior are the jivas. Why are they superior? Why are the jivas superior?
They're part of Krishna.
Yes, even the inferior energy is part of Krishna. So why are the jivas superior? Because they're spiritual. And so could you explain that? In a sense, everything's spiritual because it's all coming from Krishna's body. Just like Krishna's explained in Bhagavad Gita, daivihi esha gunamayi, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature. So how are the jivas superior? doesn't quite cut it. It's getting close, but yes. The conscious. Consciousness means living, personal. Okay, personal. So we're persons. And so person is superior to dull matter. This is why it's superior. Consciousness, desires, individuality. Because the matter, this book stand, for example, is a transformation of a tree. The tree has been manifested in this way or that way, and then eventually it will become ashes or chewed up by different insects in so many ways. So it's always transforming. But Krishna says the person, the jiva, is superior because he's eternally the same. He never changes. Yes, one of his attributes is that he has real intelligence. But in the material world, intelligence is one of the 8 inferior energies. But one of the attributes of the soul is he has individual spiritual intelligence. So we need to understand what the difference is between the jiva and matter. So how do we understand the difference also between the jiva and matter? Where do we need to go if we want to understand the difference between the jiva and matter? Who said that? Okay, Bhagavad Gita. So where do we understand then the difference between the soul and matter? How is it explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, the difference between the soul and matter? Yes, the living entities are the ones who are using matter. Yes, and what else? What else? How else do we understand the difference between the soul and matter?
The soul is eternal.
Yeah. It's temporarily manifesting and unmanifesting, yes. So what else? Let's try and just lock into this point. What's the difference between Krishna's, what Krishna's described as apareyam itastvanyam? Besides this inferior energy of mind, what does Krishna say? Prakritim viddi meparam jiva bhuta. Besides this inferior energy of mind consisting of the 8 material ingredients, there's a superior energy, which are the living entities. Now, how does Krishna describe their superior? What are the qualities of this jiva that make him superior?
Eternality, full of cognizance, knowledge.
Yes. Yes, these are definitely some of the differences, because, for example, what is the body? Chemicals, matter. We're thinking how to make the body happy, but can you make a bunch of chemicals happy? Is it possible? Are you going to devote your life to making a bag of chemicals happy? Unfortunately, in the material world, that is the common disease. So, chemicals worry? No. So what else? Okay, good. Yes, Vishambhar Prabhu.
Well, there is one natural difference that the spirit, anything which is impregnated by the jiva, has a birth, growth, and then
stays for some time, produces some byproducts. Yes, everything material has 6 kinds of changes. And Krishna says, no, the soul has no such changes. What are these 6 changes? Yes, very nicely explained. We appear. We talk about birth, but actually Krishna is saying, no. Najayate mriyate va. That for the soul, there is never birth nor death. So who has taken birth? The body is born out of the mother, but the soul hasn't taken birth. Krishna says, for the soul there is never birth nor death. So this is very important if we're actually going to understand the difference between ourselves and the body, we have to hear how Krishna is describing it. We have to really try and get to grips with what Krishna is saying and start to make sense of it. So the six changes: we appear, we grow, we produce some byproducts, we stay for some time, we dwindle, and we disappear. Everything material is like that, but that's not the soul. What are the qualities? Can't be cut into pieces by any weapon, but you can cut this wood here, the book, the pages, they've been cut like that to make the shape. Everything we see here is being cut. The body will also be cut. It'll also be finished. But the soul isn't of the same quality. It's completely different quality. Unborn, ever-existing, undying, primeval, not slain when the body is slain. These are really basic points that we need to be able to understand and explain very clearly to others. And the more we do that, the more we learn to understand them and explain them to others, the more it becomes sunk into our own psyche, the more it becomes assimilated. Oh, yeah, this is the fact. So it's really important that we learn to preach or share it with others, whichever way you call it, or just try and help others understand, teach it, whatever you call it. The point is to share this this transcendental knowledge. It is so significant. This is what Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and the associates, the five Panchatattva, have come to do, to give everyone this understanding, to share the messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And so Lord Chaitanya, this is Krishna himself, he's relishing hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He's teaching us that this is actually really good activity to do. This is a lot of fun. If we hear and understand this subject matter and share it with others, then we'll really start to assimilate it very nicely and it'll become second nature. So Lord Chaitanya is engaging in all these activities. Dancing, chanting, taking prasadam, all good activities. Probably everyone is looking forward to taking prasadam. But we need to understand there's something significant. The activities of the Panchatattva, they're being done in this way. Part of it is Lord Chaitanya. His internal reasons are for experiencing the love that Srimati Radharani experiences for him and the pleasure that she appreciates when she realizes the sweetness of his love. But they're being done in the mood of loving devotional service. Now, any one of us here, we're all getting the chance for loving devotional service, which is... what is so special about loving devotional service? Can anyone say what's important? What are the distinguishing features of loving devotional service? Who here has read Nectar of Devotion? One, two, one, a few. Okay, good, good, a few. This is a very important book. What is Nectar of Devotion? Can anyone say what is the subtitle of this book, Nectar of Devotion? What's it in the subtitle? Say loud. The complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Do you like to know what you're doing? Do you like to understand what you're doing? Well, this Bhakti Yoga, this complete science of Bhakti Yoga, is a really, really important book. Prabhupada stressed it very much. Because it's the complete science of what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we do it, the whole point. Everything is beautifully described. And Prabhupada asked of this book, specifically that we read this book, Nectar of Devotion. He said, don't just read it and then come and ask Prabhupada, what is this? Prabhupada, what is that? He said, no. Read it once. Read it twice. Read it thrice. And if you still have any questions, read it again. Because Prabhupada wanted us to understand. So this point, panchatattvatmakam krishnam, comprehending the five transcendental subject matters. It won't be done in a day. It won't be done in a moment. We have to regularly take the anjana, the medication on our eyes so that we can see everything very clearly. And that will be very good. Then our disease condition will be nicely resolved. So this subject matter is meant for us, for our benefit, for helping us clear the cataract on our vision. Even our eyes may be open, still we have defective vision. So hearing from the spiritual master, this regular medication, this is wanted for enabling us to see everything very clearly. Okay, so I'm going to stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or comments they'd like to give, particularly any questions.